Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast. Today is July 16, 2021. The Coconuts Podcast is your home for top trending news and pop culture from all across Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. I'm Nurul Azlia.
And I'm Summer Lee. Hello.
What's up, Summer? How's it going, mate?
It's going good. It's going good. It's just that this freaking KTV cluster, are you serious right now?
A moment of silence for all the marriages that will end in divorce in 3, 2, 1. I just wanted to do that. What the hell, man? Why are KTVs even operating in this period? I thought they've been banned from
exactly
the first surface of Singapore.
Exactly. Like the entire country was in mourning, right? Because we were not allowed to go to Teo Heng, right, to do like our karaoke sessions. And you're telling me that these horny ass men got to. So I'm like, where is the justice? Okay. And then now, whether we go into lockdown again or not is dependent on whether these men are willing to admit to their wives that they were horny and they went to KTV, like these freaking KTV places. And I'm like, y'all should get punched. But that is my little opinion.
Yeah, they should get punched. And I don't know. I'm going to stop there because everything else that I'm going to say from here onwards is just going to be mean and I might just get cancelled for it.
Absolutely.
But
I'm not gonna swap, so I think we should bring back public caning. No, I'm just kidding, that's horrible. But yeah, these men,
when do we ever have public caning?
I don't know, like is that a myth?
public shaming. for the KTV cluster. Shame on you.
That's why, the Game of Thrones, you know, like when Cersei rings the bell and yells shame, and then I follow you around Choa Chu Kang. Let's do it.
And then they gotta put on the placards and wear it. like how they do it in Bali to foreigners who violate rules or like pickpocket or whatever. They gotta parade around town and say like, yes, I went to KTV when my wife was at home caring for my children.
Now my
whole family has COVID because of me. Shame on me.
Wait, but Nuru, but we put cardboard. Is that a public assembly?
Oh. Oh, gosh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dang you, public order. Whatever.
It's okay. We'll find some other way to punish them. But I like that our boy, right? This minister, right? Our boy, Mr. Ong. He's like, all tests will be confidential, so please step up. I'm like, wow.
But I like that he became the, you know how like Asian parents, right? A lot of Asian parents, like when they say, oh, you disappoint me, don't disappoint me. You know, that word disappointer triggers a lot of trauma. You know, like suddenly you feel like, oh, like it gives you all that guilt trip, right? Like you feel like you're not good enough and you need to like strive harder. And he actually used that word, disappointing. He knew the keyword to use to guilt trip all those people who went to the freaking KTV.
So this is very troubling and disappointing. We knew about cases like that happening in Korea, in Hong Kong, nightlife, people coming very close together, some with hostesses and leading to big clusters. So we have never allowed such activities for past more than 1 year.
Because of them, I don't know whether we're going to relax our curbs further by the end of this month before National Day.
God damn it. Like these freaking grown-ass men were using like Asian parenting like kind of tactics, but will it work? Stay tuned.
Advertise with our in-house agency Grove. Fast, funny, digital. Join forces with us to slay buzzwords, rise above the noise, and sow the seeds of something great. Get in touch via coconuts.co/grove.
Okay.
Oh, that was our moment of silence for the divorce rates. And moving on to this week's top stories. Starting in Bali. Oh, talking about people who read who deserves public shaming. Oof. In Bali, over a dozen foreign nationals in Canggu were fined for violating Bali's mandatory mask rule yesterday, with authorities appearing to step up enforcement in the popular tourist area. Police have received numerous tips from the public about health protocol violations in Canggu, according to Harisindu Nugroho from the Bali Police. The information prompted Sunday's patrols, Harry said, in which 13 foreign nationals were caught without masks. Like, really? We're a year and a half into the pandemic already.
Mm-hmm.
So those people were sanctioned with $69 fines on the spot. What's with the figure, though?
I know, right? Is this, you're telling this not on purpose?
Oh, no. It's 1 million rupiah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Is the US dollar that messed up the digits. Okay. Oh. Authorities will continue to patrol areas popular among foreigners, alluding to widespread reports during the pandemic that many foreigners in Bali, particularly those in popular tourist areas such as Canggu and Ubud, don't follow health protocols.
Mm.
This is the KTV syndrome, I call it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in Bali. Gosh, you know what? We have our anti-face mask people in Singapore, like the woman who has been slapped with dozens more charges because she refuses to wear masks.
Is it the former lady?
The MBS lady.
Yeah, that's how we have to identify people now, because there was the sovereign, and then there was the MBS lady, and then this is this Ang Mo who wants to
the Brit guy?
Yeah.
The British dude, yeah. And now they've gotten fundraising for him to pay for his legal fees. Damn, we live in a wild world.
We do. Speaking of completely wild shit, over in Bangkok, Thailand has given the green light to a Sinovac AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine cocktail. Guys, now you can mix and match like a freaking, I don't know, candy dispenser somewhere.
Because the weekend's coming, cocktail.
Oh, God. But yeah, I don't even know what is happening anymore. But, you know, just the headlines of any are enough to make me go, what? And that is like my daily exercise. But yeah, Thailand is allowing doctors to mix the Sinovac and AstraZeneca vaccines in a bid to increase protection against highly transmissive coronavirus variants. And yeah, our boy, the health minister, Anutin, said that health officials have given the green light to inoculate the population with a dose of the Sinovac vaccine followed by a dose of AstraZeneca. It hopes that it will boost their immunity against the infectious Delta variant spreading throughout Thailand. And then hospitals can proceed with such inoculations now. And of course, we've all heard that they've started their Phuket sandbox kind of program where foreigners can actually come to Phuket if you're vaccinated.
Is that going well?
Yeah, but is that going well? That remains to be seen, I'm afraid.
I think there were some international travelers who arrived through the Phuket sandbox and they tested positive. Mm-hmm. And then some of them didn't follow the protocol. Like they left their quarantine hotels. Like they went missing.
That's why there's always the bunch of people, the outliers who think that, I don't know, they are invincible or some shit.
The KTV syndrome, though?
Ah, exactly. That is the pandemic.
The new pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Our new wave.
Oh, God.
Yep, well, but I'm not sure about this cocktail thing, but if it works, I guess it's a good thing. To mix the different types of vaccine, especially with the Delta variant that's becoming even more infectious now. But yeah, I don't know. There was this case. Remember the boy who accidentally got the Moderna vaccine instead of a Pfizer? So what's going to happen to him now? Is he going to go back to Pfizer or is he? Yeah.
That's why.
Hopefully all goes well. Anyways, yeah. In Hong Kong, crazy story, and I love the headline, Hong Kong. Kudos, Hong Kong. Missing pistol. Police officer leaves gun in shopping mall toilet of all places.
Voodoo.
A Hong Kong police officer left her gun in a shopping mall toilet at Tai Kok Sui Saturday afternoon. Police received a report around 4:50 p.m. that a pistol had been found in a women's toilet at the Metro Harbour Plaza. Initial investigation found that the gun belonged to the female police officer who reported her gun missing less than an hour ago. Police arrived at the mall and sealed off the toilet where they recovered the misplaced revolver. A photo of the handgun was circulated online, which was left on what appeared to be a toilet stall ledge and had the code RHKP3441. I suppose that's the serial number. And the police have added the management and use of gear strictly regulated and their violations will be seriously dealt with. This seems like she just misplaced it.
Yeah, man. Like I do but shit sometimes. Like put stuff on the ledge, you know?
Yeah. Don't they have signs in the cubicles that say, you know, don't leave your valuables behind? In this case you gotta add like an icon of a gun beside wallet and mobile phone.
Yeah, man. Or a separate notice. Please leave your weapons of mass destruction, you know. Don't leave your weapons in here. Thank you so much. Please bring your guns out with you. I don't know. What is the thing?
Crazy shit.
Mm-hmm. But I get it. Sounds like something I would do if I was a cop, you know?
Leave behind a pistol.
Never hire me.
Yeah. Should get one of those air tags.
Oh my God.
So you can find my gun.
Right.
Where did I put it? Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe Apple one, you can pay me for the idea later.
Yeah. She accepts cash or check.
I'll pay now.
Also can. Oof. Over in Jakarta, the emergency PPKM may be extended by another 6 weeks according to reports. Oh God. It feels like a pissing contest, right? Or like a reverse version of that, right? With all of us Southeast Asian countries, we're like, who's going to do it worse? And then it's like, it feels like a snail race. We're all like, oh shit, lockdowns again. But who is doing it best or worst, actually?
But you know, you remember when the word lockdown used to have such a great impact on us, like such a great effect on us, right? Like it has this like, oh no, like end of the world feeling. But now I hear the word lockdown, I don't feel anything anymore.
Oh God, we've been desensitized.
Man. So, lockdown? What lockdown? What does it mean anymore? What does that mean, lockdown?
Is it edible? But yeah. Oh God.
Is it a vaccine?
But yeah, these poor people in Jakarta, if you've been fully compliant with tightened restrictions, you kind of are prepared to be practically confined to your home for a further 6 weeks with the current COVID-19 wave. Because it's proving to be anything but over. But yeah, local media outlets have reported that the emergency enforcement of restrictions on public activities, also known as the emergency PPKM, because I will never say that thing out loud again, it was so long. The first phase of which was supposed to be ending on the 20th of July, but it may be extended for another 4 to 6 weeks as outlined by the finance minister during a meeting with the House of Representatives. So the minister argued that the extension may be a necessity given that Indonesia's caseload has not decreased in the ongoing phase of the PPKM. In fact, Indonesia recorded its all-time highest daily new infections count of 40,427 cases on the 13th of July. The government has been caught between a rock and a hard place all pandemic and had been reluctant to enforce tight restrictions on public activities for economic reasons. God fucking damn it. That is, until the country began experiencing the worst of the outbreak starting in June and carrying on into July. What the hell?
Stay strong, Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in Malaysia, I can't help but laugh. I've been laughing at this story in Malaysia for the past 3 days. Malaysian health minister mistakes Spanish flu for Spanish fly during university talk. Malaysians and even politicians took to social media this week to poke fun at Health Minister Adam Baba for slipping up during his talk at University Putra Malaysia, mistaking the Spanish flu for the infamous sexual stimulant. The health minister went from health talk to sex talk in front of an audience when he said Spanish fly instead of Spanish flu while pointing out how the early 20th century flu pandemic had killed millions of people around the world in 2 years. Adam mentioned the natural aphrodisiac not once, not twice, but at least three times before realizing his mistake that has already been immortalized in a viral video. One of the reactions said, "How is this guy even a doctor? Spanish fly?" The hashtag Spanish fly already got more than 4,000 tweets, and the 39-second clip was already shared by numerous people. In case you don't know, the Spanish flu was said to happen between 1918 and 1920, infecting about 500 million people and killing between 17 million and 100 million people. Spanish fly, however, is mostly used to refer to the sexual stimulant, if not the emerald green beetle. Political satirist Fahmi Reza was quick to respond to the gaffe with a graphic of the minister holding up a glass with the caption, "Can be mixed with any beverage or warm water." So this, he was taking a jab at Adam because he had earlier told Malaysia on national television that drinking warm water was good to fight off COVID-19. This coming from a doctor, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, other people who reacted to it was other people who reacted to the Spanish fly episode was MP Fahmi Fazil and former education minister Masli Malik. Sheesh. There are so many memes that came out of this. It's so funny. Y'all should just search hashtag Spanish fly on Twitter and just go through the memes and the jokes. Like, it is so funny. There was this one guy. He's a comic artist. His name is Ernest Ng. So he shared a photo of a fly in Renaissance attire with the caption, "Once upon a time, our ancestors had to deal with this enemy, the very dangerous Spanish fly."
Oh my god.
There's this other guy who said, "Oh, maybe this is English lesson 101. The bird flu, the bird fly, Spanish flu, Spanish fly." That's correct, la, right? Past tense and present tense. I cannot stop laughing at this story. It's so funny.
I love it. It's like maybe it's a Freudian slip. Like he's telling us peasants, what he's using to kind of survive the pandemic. So good on you, buddy.
Now we know his secret.
Mm-hmm.
So it's safe to mix vaccine and Spanish fly, according to
a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, over in Manila, oh my gosh, like every week we read the news, right? Nothing good is happening, y'all. The Taal volcano remains under high alert with 185 earthquakes detected in a span of 24 hours.
Holy shit, y'all.
I know.
The hell?
I know, right? It's like, Taal volcano may look more placid today than it has over the past week. You know, that scary plume of emission shooting up into the air seems to have calmed down, right? But that only means that all the activity remains under the surface. Thank you so much for this bit of information.
But, it's like, you don't know whether it's going to happen or not. You're just going to like, it just happens when it does.
Yeah, like this sentence was just like,
did you think it was over?
No, it's all happening under the surface when you can't see it now. Enjoy. Oh my God. But yes, 185 volcanic earthquakes have been recorded by the Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology over a 24-hour period from 5 a.m. on July 11th to 5 a.m. on July 12th. And that includes 176 volcanic tremors that lasted between a minute to 16 minutes long. 16 minutes, what the hell?
Wow. Yeah,
I know. That is like how many replays of the Baby Shark song. I don't know. But yeah, alert level 3 remains up over Taal, indicating high levels of activity in the volcano. And the alert kind of indicates the possibility of a strong eruption at any time. Oh my God. Visitors are actually prohibited from going to the island, so don't freaking go there, is your takeaway.
Yeah, not even for a selfie.
Please.
Talking, especially you influencers.
Please, tolong.
Damn. In Singapore, you know, vaccine is like all the rage right now. It's the only thing everyone's doing in Singapore, even cats. Mm-hmm. A vaccine-crashing Singapore cat turned out to be a neighborhood star recently because the cat is now on Instagram. If you're on Instagram, you're a star. That's the reality of life these days. A ginger vagabond who won internet points trying to queue at a vaccination site has turned out to be a feline of some repute in this corner of Singapore. Known around Instagram as the Clementi Community Center Cat or the Main Ginger, the kitty who recently went viral for lounging in a vaccination center waiting area before its removal was no stranger, but rather has a dedicated account with more than 1,000 followers. Not too shabby, kitty. The account occasionally shares pictures of the orange tabby sprawling on the ground, sleeping in boxes, and wearing bunny hats. You know, that is the life that I want.
I mean, he's an influencer now. Like, watch out. He's going to, like, start, like, how to say, hawking those, like, ergonomic chairs and what else have you.
Living life in ignorance, not even knowing why the hell are people queuing up in community centers all day long.
That cat's definitely Singaporean, man. Like, you see a queue, you just join.
Yeah. It's like, what's good, Singapore? I'm just going to join in the seat.
Exactly. For those that aren't in Singapore. Cat. Yeah, right? Yeah, for those that aren't in Singapore, basically, queuing is a national sport. If there was an Olympics event for it, we would clinch the gold. Bet.
True that.
But yeah, over in Yangon, not any happier news from previous weeks. But yeah, soldiers open fire and disperse crowds refilling oxygen tanks in Yangon. Yeah, so this happened when people were lining up for oxygen in Yangon's South Dagon Township. And some of those who experienced the alleged brutality were recalling the terrifying incident. This person who wished to remain anonymous said, 4 shots were fired and then 2 more. I was scared and silent, and the exact extent of the damage is unknown. I was left with no oxygen tanks, and I was lucky enough not to be chased. Oh my God.
Damn, the situation in Myanmar has just gotten worse. Like, yeah. Singapore yesterday shut our borders with them. Like, they were not allowing people coming in from Myanmar because of the worsening situation there.
Screwed up.
And now they're running out of oxygen tanks.
That's why. Oh, God. Let me see. But yeah, obviously, over there, oxygen is very scarce. And then these oxygen cylinders were left behind as civilians who were queuing to refill the oxygen tanks at a factory, like, kind of fled in panic as soon as they were chased by the soldiers. Then witnesses said that soldiers arrived on motorcycles and opened fire. And they were also seen shooting at civilians who were carrying oxygen tanks on motorcycles. There have been reports that soldiers have been ordered to disperse the crowds at oxygen factories to ensure exclusive supply of oxygen to junta-run facilities. While there are no reports of casualties from the attacks, I'm like, can you really be sure, you know? But yeah, there are all these, like, posts from people on the ground showing kind of pictures of people lining up in front of an oxygen factory. And, well, yeah, there are big crowds, and it's really unfortunate because, as anybody knows, we are battling a freaking pandemic. The people in Myanmar are battling a coup and the pandemic. So it's freaking evil, all this shit.
Damn. Like, you know, there are some people who already notice how countries in this region are becoming increasingly authoritarian since the pandemic.
Facts.
And it's come to a point where it's so difficult to deny already. It's like nothing, like nobody can do anything.
That's why.
So frustrating.
That's why I feel like our country can do something, but who am I? I don't run the country, so I don't know.
I am just a coconut.
Same.
No more.
Ayoy.
But stay strong, Yangon.
Yeah, man.
And this week, we are talking to our regional managing editor in Manila. Her name is Kristin Fonasier, and she's going to talk to us about this wacky new development that's happening on Manila's trains. Animals are taking over. No, I'm just kidding. But she'll give us all the details in our interview.
Welcome to the show, Kristin.
Hi, welcome.
Yay. Hi. So we're here to talk to you about this very exciting story coming from Manila. Could you tell us what's happening?
Oh, well, lots of things are happening in Manila all the time. But I think one of the best pieces of news that has come out is that MRT3 train line has finally decided to allow pets on board.
Right. What? What's the public transportation like in Manila? Like in Singapore, it's basically like there are multiple transport operators operating various lines. And I think we have like four or five, I think is growing now. But what is it like in Manila? Is it very complicated? And how many lines are there?
So, okay. Well, the Manila commuting situation is also complicated in this, you know, we've been on the news a couple of times because the public transport system is, to be honest, pretty poor. And this particular train line that we're talking about, the MRT3, travels through one of the busiest parts of the entire country, which is down the EDSA highway. Mm-hmm. So it gets very congested. EDSA traverses several Metro Manila cities. And so all the cars pour out onto that main thoroughfare. So it has been important for pet owners to bring their pets on board the MRT if it hadn't been possible. But this is more significant for pet owners than it might sound, because otherwise there would have been few low-cost options for them.
Right. What are the options?
Okay, so there are a lot of buses, but buses are by and large privately run. So up to 2 years ago, I believe, the rules changed only 2 years ago to allow pets on public transport. But because everything is private, it's still up to the operators whether or not they want to follow the rules. So there have been a lot of reports about pets being refused boarding on buses.
Aw. And it seems like there are so many pet owners in Manila, many enough to have such a thing to happen on, to be allowed on public transports. Could you tell a bit more about the relationship with animals there? Like, is it like one in every two or three people have pets? And is that what the situation is?
We love our pets in the Philippines in general. We get very attached to our animals. So I myself have two very cute cats, but they refuse to leave the house. So this news has no bearing on them. I told them about it. I told them that we could go on the train anytime. And they just looked at me and walked straight to their food bowls and said, "We don't care, Christine." but I'm sure. That said, I have a lot of friends who would love to bring their pets on board the trains. We have very close. So we have lots of dog and cat owners, fish as well. I presume fish are all allowed on board the MRT. They have not said no. Interestingly enough, what I found out through researching the story is that prior to this, only chickens were allowed on board. Now, chickens not considered. Yes. So
live chickens.
Live chickens. I mean, I presume you could always bring your fried chicken on board with you. But live chickens were allowed since 2011. So I also presume that they were not considered pets, but were considered livestock. So that rule was probably to facilitate the transport of livestock, you know, for farmers. But I didn't know that it was illegal until 2011 to bring live chickens on board public transport.
What the heck? What if I want to like skirt this rule and I'm like, this my pet alligator, I'm going to eat him after, so right? This is okay.
It's funny because it's the livestock that they're getting their ride first before domestic animals, like domestic pets. Like they're getting the privilege over domestic pets.
I also want to add though that, you know, it didn't mean that livestock weren't allowed on board. So I always, especially in the provinces, whenever I ride public transport, there will always be boxes of chickens, crates of chickens on board. And I think this was just to make it clear in the law that they were, you can't say no and say that it's illegal. They are allowed. So that was until 2011. And now 2021, domesticated animals are also allowed on board. So up until 2 years ago, and so in 2019, pets were also allowed on board, but not on the train. So 2021, trains have started allowing pet animals.
Cool. What was the turning point, though, that led us to this, to allowing domestic pets on board?
Oh, I know from being in animal rights groups myself that people have been asking for this for a long time. And I think, you know, the pandemic has just made it easier for people to see, I mean, number one, how important pets have become to them. I mean, I personally know that I wouldn't have survived the pandemic without my cats. And second, because there were fewer people on board, we've also had time to clarify and streamline some of the transportation rules. So there have been, around this, other things that have changed on EDSA. The way that buses have loaded have become more efficient, for example. And because of the lessened load on the trains, because of social distancing, you know, we've also had time to sit down and think about, you know, what else can we do to improve the lives of commuters? So this is one seemingly minor thing, but, you know, it means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think that not just in the Philippines, I think a lot of people around the world have been keeping animals during the pandemic. I think in Singapore, there's also been like an uptick of people owning or adopting puppies, cats, rabbits. Rabbits are popular in Singapore.
Right.
But then again, like on the flip side, in Singapore, we also have a spate of animal cruelty going on, people killing cats and stuff like that. I hope that doesn't happen in the Philippines, though. Does it?
I'm sure it does, unfortunately. But we also have stringent laws about animal cruelty and abuse.
Right.
There have been more animal rights welfare groups around. People have become more aware of the rights of animals, and people are speaking up and reporting cases of animal abuse and abandonment, which is also a crime.
Yeah, that is also a crime in Singapore. But have there been more abandonment in the Philippines as well recently?
Hopefully you know not. What? No, I don't think so. And just anecdotally, we don't have figures, but anecdotally, I see a lot more people adopting pets, I guess because of the pandemic too, but because there have also been more supporting communities. So I know like in Singapore, we have community cats, right?
Yeah.
And so in the Philippines, we have community cats as well. And entire social media groups are formed around these communities. Community cats and dogs, where people, well, entire neighborhoods take care of the strays or of homeless pets.
Cool. I love how I get really impressed by people who really get out of the way to save animals, or like to investigate. Like they will rally together and try to find evidence and to investigate if there's any like abandonment, even when it's not even their full-time job. Like,
I know, it's great. Mm-hmm. I think it's, yeah. Do you own pets?
I have a cat, yes. And I live in an area where there's a lot of community cats as well. And I can see like from my kitchen window, people who look after these cats. Like sometimes there'll be these a couple of ladies. I can see them like feeding the cat or talking to the cat. It's just nice to see just nice to see during breaks, I guess. But I can't imagine. But I can't imagine being in a train, like in a congested train with people carrying animals. I mean, I hope. I mean, that doesn't happen in Singapore. It's not allowed. It's actually still illegal. Right. Even though now there are these new bags, like they look like astronaut bags, and then you can put your cat inside, and there's like a little window. I thought that was so convenient. Yeah, like I can actually carry my cat around, like to go to the clinic or to go buy food or something like that. But even with that, like, I'm not allowed to bring my cat on the train, mm-hmm. even though, you know, he's protected. He's not going to jump out at you or anything. But then again, like, because in Singapore, we get train disruptions pretty often. So I can imagine like being stuck for half an hour or like being delayed by an hour on the train with my cat. But what is that? How's that situation going to be in Manila though?
So the MRT3 administration did say that they need to clarify a few more things. Like for example, you know, what happens if there's another passenger with allergies to pet dander? How are you going to manage that? Mm-hmm. So they still need to clarify all the details. So we'll wait until that happens. I used to live in Singapore until recently, and I was very aware that you couldn't bring pets on board public transport. So I needed to walk everywhere to bring my cat or book Grab and make sure that the driver was all right with it.
Mm. Yeah, and that's just expensive, by the way. Like, you can't even bring food, so you can't even bring like a chicken's child, for example. I'm talking about an egg. so yeah, everything is illegal. So it feels like the only option I have, a godson who's basically my friend's giant golden retriever. I have to bring this giant dog around, in a Grab car, and like that's really expensive. So,
there is Grab Pet. Which also exists in Manila, but it's so expensive.
Dude, I know.
What's the prices?
Yeah, man.
How much does it cost?
I forgot, but you know, so Grab prices are much lower in the Philippines comparative to, say, Singapore, but not as cheap as Jakarta. Uh-huh. But they do charge a premium for Grab Pet.
Same then. So freaking sucks. Yeah.
Mm. There's a few cars that would take that would take pets. So sometimes I book a private car, like a Grab, and not a Grab pet, and just call ahead to make sure that your driver is all right with it. Half the time they say no, and that's their right, but half the time they also say yes.
Mm. Yeah, kind of same here. I'm like, I have a giant golden retriever with me, but he's a very good boy. And then some guy said no, and then it was like, okay, your loss. He's a very cute boy.
It is their loss.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just looking at this article, and it says that children under 17 years and below are still not able to ride on the MRT3. And also old people. So my question is, do the old people all have government-issued jetpacks? What is happening? How do they get around?
Yes, they do have government-issued jet pass. It's fantastic.
I knew it.
Well, that's our secret thing in Manila. Nobody talks about it. There's secret jet packs. No, but I'm kidding. But what Manila does have is one of the most strict and longest lockdowns in the world. So we've lessened the restrictions a bit, but since the pandemic started. Children and seniors hadn't been able to leave their houses until recently. So now, with more relaxed restrictions, seniors are allowed to leave their houses, and children have recently also been allowed to roam, but they're not allowed in closed public spaces.
Like trains. All right.
Like trains, exactly. So, unfortunately, the MRT3 administration came out with these announcements back to back, which was unfortunate. So, like, yes, we're allowing pets, but no, teenagers below 17 and below still are not. So the juxtaposition was a little strange.
I don't know how to feel about that. Like,
right?
Your fur kids can, your kids can't.
But as a pet owner yourself, I'm sure you agree that our pets are often more well-behaved than a lot of kids out there. So it's all fine. It works out, I think.
True that. That is very true.
I trust my cat more than I trust a lot of kids and politicians.
Facts. I'm getting that embroidered on a pillow. Just saying.
I'm going to register my cat for the elections, and I'm going. I think he'll do a better job running the country than a lot of the politicians out there. Is what I'm saying.
That's the campaign slogan right there.
There you go. Vote for my cat. He knows how to bury his poop, which is more than I can say for a lot of you all.
So, like this rule. So now they're allowing all these animals on the train. So that's begun. Like a lot of our commuters carrying their animals onto the trains already on MRT 3.
Not a whole lot, but they're happy that the rule is in place, that they can. They just know that they can.
Cool.
I've seen a few pictures.
Okay. So people are doing it. Right. And any issues so far?
No,
right.
So far everybody's great with it.
Yeah,
part of it is that social. Part of the reason, perhaps, is social distancing is still enforced on the trains.
Yeah.
So,
but animals are like distant. The animals are already quarantined in their bags and carriers. No issue with that.
If it gets crowded once more and people start complaining about their allergies or the smells. That might be an issue, but so far so good. Like I said, chickens have been traveling in buses since buses were invented, and we've been okay with it.
So this is MRT3. What about like the other train lines? Like, do you think this will spread elsewhere, allowing animals on board?
I think so.
Cool.
The MRT3 train line seems to be pioneering things. And I hope this encourages not just the train lines, but also the private bus operators and, well, actually also Grab drivers. And I hope it encourages them to accept our four-legged family members on board.
That's awesome, man. I really wish we could do the same in Singapore. I'm actually kind of jealous, like, because I don't have a car, and sometimes I want to go out, like, with my cat, and he doesn't want to be on a leash. He doesn't move when he's on a leash, but when I remove the leash, then that's when he will walk around, and then sometimes he will just jump around, so I'm just afraid that he will escape from me, which I don't think he will, but I don't know, maybe. So sometimes I will just put him in a bag and then just carry around. But then it can get kind of tiring because I think my cat's kind of heavy. Yeah.
That said, I just remembered that one of the rules for the train is that the animals have to fit in a 2x2 carrier. So the golden retriever, I'm afraid, won't be able to travel. I remember, though, in New York, they made the same rule just a few years ago. They started allowing pets on board the subways in New York. But they said, they didn't say how big it could be, but they just said that as long as you could carry your pet in a bag, he was allowed on board. And excuse me. And I saw pictures of these guys bringing large dogs, like golden retrievers, in these huge IKEA bags on board of them. Like, well, I can carry him and he can fit in a bag. You didn't say how big.
That's funny. My God. Oh, yeah. I just remember, like, in Singapore, you can bring guide dogs on the train.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And that's it.
More dogs.
Yeah. Do you is that common in Manila, guide dogs?
No, I'm afraid not, and I actually wish it were. Mm-hmm. It seems like a good a good way to get around.
Yeah, I think it, I mean, for Singapore, that only happened pretty recently, I think, just a few years. Yeah, but so far it's been really helpful for people with disabilities to go around, keeping the place, our transportation app more inclusive. Right. Still a long way to go, though.
Yeah, and I think that touches on another issue, but independent living for PWDs, for persons with disabilities, isn't yet a big thing. We don't think about the right of PWDs to live independently. Like, on the one hand, we don't need guide dogs because we always think there's a family member or a friend to help a blind person around, for example. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they should have access to guide dogs and live their lives independently.
Yeah, I think, like, it's one of those things, one of those issues that have been around for so long, and people have been lobbying for it or advocating for it, creating awareness. But like, the change that we want to see is like, it's always slow and right. frustrating. But you just gotta keep on pushing.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, but I think like in Singapore, I feel like there are people who really wanna travel with their animals like, on trains as well. It's just that nobody knows how to lobby for that. There was this photo of a guy who brought his pet bird. He carried it in the bag that use the astronaut bag, the ones that people put cats or dogs in it. So he actually brought his pet parrot or something in that bag and took it on a train. Nobody noticed.
You know, I remember many
the bird
years
was so
ago,
quiet.
I'm sure many years ago, before airlines got super strict, a friend of mine traveled on an international flight with a bird hidden in her jacket pocket.
What?
Yeah, I know. Like, how? Like, I guess it didn't show up on. Well, first of all, the bird was really quiet, and second, I guess it didn't show up on the X-rays. But yeah, I remember her bringing it to coffee one day and telling us the story.
Hey, how long was the flight?
4 hours.
What?
Right.
That's long.
And I'm not saying that people should do this, but I know at least two people who smuggled pets on domestic flights. Again, not condoning this.
This bird's frozen.
No, these were cats.
Oh, God. No.
So the story was, well, at least one of my friends, they rescued these cats while they were on vacation elsewhere and decided to smuggle them on board the plane. And somehow, miraculously, they got through.
Wow.
This wasn't too long ago either. And I don't know what that says about the state of domestic airline security.
Oh, like new conspiracy theory. Cats don't have bones. Pass it on.
Ah.
Right.
They're invisible to x-rays. Interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of traveling with animals, I remember one story about this lady who smuggled fish. Like, not just one, I think there were like four or five, I don't know, a dozen at least. She packed them, each of them, in individual plastic bags and then tied them underneath her skirt. So she was entering customs with wearing this like skirt with all the fish, like packets of fish underneath them.
Well, She got caught. I would have just worn them outside and said, "This is fashion. You can't do anything about what I choose to wear."
It's camp.
Yeah, exactly. There were no photos. There were no photos, but as I was listening to the news, I just couldn't stop imagining how she would look like. Like, wow. Well, girl,
now I can't stop imagining it too.
Yeah.
How do you even? I remember there was a story a couple of years ago too in Singapore where a guy, I mean, as you all know, Singapore has very strict animal importation rules to prevent rabies from entering the country. And I remember that a guy had driven through the Johor border with kittens hidden in his pants.
Oh, Lord.
In his pants. Pockets?
I don't know. It didn't say, but I'm guessing pant legs. So he was driving through, tried to smuggle the kittens, but they were noisy and they were heard and managed to find.
Is that a kitten in your pants or are you excited to see right? me? Is my question. Yeah.
I was wondering what the conversation was like between the border guard and what's that in your pants?
Oh, Lord.
That's crazy.
Lots of animal things, animal tidbits, no. I just posted a story about rats. But that's
another
podcast. What?
Are they allowed on board, rats?
Yeah, no, so again, because they haven't clarified, I guess as long as they're in a 2x2 carrier, they should be all right.
Okay.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try and update you on the next podcast. That's a great idea for an investigative piece. What animals will be turned away at the train? So I'm going to make this a daily thing.
This is a viral YouTube series in the making. Can you bring it on board? That is the question. Like yeah, and then you bring a python that's like coiled really nicely and just be like, yeah, it fits.
Yeah, it fits. You can't say no. I love him. He's my pet.
Yup.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us, Christine.
Thanks to you guys. Have a good rest of the day.
Yeah, you too.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
I am a little jealous of how people are able to bring their animals on board trains because I want to take my cat out too.
That astronaut, like little window bag, is so freaking cute. We should be able to bring anybody on board anywhere.
Right? Oh, there's so many things that can be done. But I guess we're not vocal about it. Maybe that's why it's not happening. That's because true. Like in Manila, like Kristen said, people actually voiced about it. Like people actually suggested and really urged for such a thing to happen on the trains, and that's why it's happening. Even though it took like longer, much later than like livestock. But it still happened. So maybe we should start a group.
Right, Summer. Right.
What'd you say?
Wait, damn it, is Hongmen Park open like
animals have the right to seat. Give the animals a seat. Okay, that's your chance.
Exactly. I came up with a chance. Wonderful. That's all we need. Like, I'm trying to bring a goldfish outside, you know, just because I want to do it. Just because.
You know, your goldfish not going to remember anything because they've got like very limited memory. But okay. Yeah, you do you.
I'll start an Instagram account. So, like, you know, it's for me. It's like, how to say, one of those parents that capitalize off like their child star. Yeah, that's all I'm trying to do with my goldfish.
Yeah. Goldfish of Instagram. Is there such a thing?
Right. It should be if it's not.
Do it. And that's all we have for this week, I guess.
Yeah.
Unless we want to go on and on about the whole KTV syndrome. No, I'm so sick and tired of it.
Ugh. Yeah. It's okay. There's still next week.
Okay. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you have a great weekend.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support Coconuts and our weird and wondrous stories, you can become a Coco Plus member at coconuts.co/membership, make a patron payment at coconuts.co/patron, or buy our fresh merch at the Coconut Shop at shop.coconuts.co. Subscribe to the podcast and leave reviews. Tell us how you feel and what you like and don't like. We're excited to hear from you.
The Coconuts podcast delivers impactful, weird, and wondrous reporting by our journalists on the ground in 8 cities: Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong, Manila, Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur, Yangon, and Bali. Listen to headline news and insightful interviews on matters large and small, designed for people located in or curious about Southeast Asia and Hong Kong.
The Coconuts podcast is a Coconuts Media production. Our hosts are Summer Lee and Nurul Aslia. Our executive producer is Byron Perry. Our production manager is Clarissa Cortez, and our editor is Rainer Lin.